everybody, and welcome to our Wednesday evening service. For those of you joining us online, nice to have you. Welcome to Bethel Baptist Church. We usually have our hymn services first, and then we have a message service sermon after that. So we'll go ahead and get started. Our first hymn will be hymn number 264, In the Garden. Hymn number 264.
Look and live, my brother, live. Look to Jesus.
message this evening will be hymn number 172, The Solid Rock, hymn number 172. And once you get there, go ahead and join me in standing if you're able. Together here in the house of the Lord, and just give him the praise with our voices, and just give him the honor and the respect that we know that he deserves, and just the blessing it is to be here this evening. So, quick announcements: we'll be having the prayer breakfast this Saturday at Grace Baptist Church. That will be at 9 a.m. Again, that will be the monthly prayer breakfast over at Grace Baptist Church there in Florence, Kentucky, at 9 a.m. We'll be having the fellowship meeting here Saturday, April the 24th at 6 p.m. Pastor Tim Scott from Independence Baptist Church, or First Church in Independence, will be the guest speaker. So that is the area-wide fellowship meeting. That will be Saturday, April the 24th at 6 p.m. with Pastor Tim Scott speaking. Then in May, the last Sunday after our evening service, we'll be having the Lord's Supper. So it'll be May the 30th. Again, as it's May the 30th, we'll be having the Lord's Supper after our evening service. So we do want to remember those that are on our prayer list. Recent names that were added: Mary Mills, Scott Roller, and Jim and Sue Dolan, who are Sister Sheila's cousins. Remember Brother Tim, but I couldn't remember his wife's name. So, Sister Sheila, I apologize. Getting old at my young age, so you have to forgive me. I'm just learning what it's like as I age. So, but we do want to remember those names on the prayer list: the Dameron family, Brother Ray's daughter Robin, and Brother Mike and Sister Wendy, and her recovering from her surgery. She's in good spirits. She's doing well. She's not here this evening, but she's getting some follow-up treatment just with her eye surgery. So we just want to remember them. We'll remember Brother Tony as he continues to recover, and Sister Vicky is, she's in good spirits and smiling most of the time, but it's nice just to be able to have them here and just to see them, and it's nice to see Brother Hugh Riles in the building. It's he's recently been coming back, and we've missed having fellowship with him, so Brother, it's nice to have you back, and we just want to remember Brother John as he brings the message this evening. And any of you, Brother, have anyone else?
Karen Ray, remember her, she's got COVID, I think, this month or so. And then Mary's been exposed to COVID. She's in quarantine. Also, Audrey's having knee replacement next Thursday, so pray for her, Audrey Reeves. And Tim wanted us to mention he wants to have the church out for a picnic May 22nd. Start around noon. So mark that off on your calendar. That's the third. That's the fourth Saturday.
I believe that is Memorial Day weekend.
It's May. Was it? Yeah, it was May. It wasn't April. It was May 22nd, yeah. And it's the fourth Saturday. Now, the fifth Saturday will be a fellowship meeting because there's the way it works out. No, I'll have to. I'm pretty sure.
We will be having a church picnic sometime in May, towards the end of the
figure,
month.
I'm trying to figure out. There's supposed to be a fellowship meeting around that same time, too, at Pleasant View. So. But I believe it's the week before that. So I don't know.
We have time, but we will announce it more on
Sunday.
I don't
have a calendar in my head. We'll make sure Sunday we know where we're going, what we're doing.
So for those of you who were trying to make sense of all that, we will be having a picnic sometime in May, towards the end of the month, Brother Tim's house there in Cynthiana. So, again, more details to come to that. Just remember Sister Andra and her upcoming surgery. Just remember I think Brother Jim said her name is Becky Ray?
Karen Ray.
So, just remember them. And your thoughts and your prayers. Any brother have anyone else? Brother Tony, Brother John. So, Brother Jim, do this word of prayer.
Lord, we are thankful for your blessings upon us as we've gathered here this evening to worship you in spirit and truth. Lord, we ask you to be with Brother John as he brings the message tonight, and Lord, just guide us and open our hearts, our minds to the word that we may be willing to follow you and to be willing disciples, Lord, to learn of you and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And Father, we ask you tonight to bless those that have been mentioned and be with them, the upcoming events, the dates, those that are looking to surgery that's coming up. And Lord, we just ask you to bless there. Be with our church, Lord, and watch over us, guide us, be with our leaders here in this nation. We pray for them, Lord, that they might seek your will in all that they do. Go with us to this service and forgive us when we sin. For it's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
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 Once again, we're going to be talking about the six, yea, the seven things that God hates are an abomination, according to Proverbs chapter 6. Verse 16 says, "These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look," which we've already talked about, "a lying tongue," and we're in the midst of talking about hands that shed, hands that shed innocent blood, and a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. And you'll notice that I've sort of scattered through the verses that deals with the heart and also verses that deal with imagination. And it's interesting how, and I've pointed this out before, that the Bible, and written by God, how he puts imaginations with the heart. We think imaginations come from the brain. We think that's where all thought comes from. And, you know, maybe biologically it does. But when you talk about the center of a person, the heart of a person, you know, we talk about artichoke hearts. Well, that's the center of the artichoke, right? So when you talk about the heart of a person, you're talking about the center of the person, who they really are, their central ideas and their central desires. So the Bible is not wrong in talking about the heart, and that emotions and imaginations and thinking comes from the heart, because we know it does. So we'll start tonight in looking at Deuteronomy chapter 29. Deuteronomy chapter 29. A lot of these verses that if you just read them as you were reading through the Bible, you might actually just sort of read through these and pass these and not really make notice of them. But I'm wanting to point out some of these so that you can see how pervasive it is throughout the Bible. So in Deuteronomy 29, we'll read verse 14 and 15 here. It says, neither with you only do make this covenant, do I make this covenant with this oath, but with him that standeth here with us this day before the Lord our God, and also with him that is not here with us this day. So God is making a covenant with the people. So if you jump down to verse 18, it says, unless there should be among you a man or a woman or family or tribe whose heart turneth away this day from the Lord. You notice the cause of the turning away is the heart. We're going to get to the New Testament eventually, and Jesus has a lot to say about the heart. You know, out of the heart, all good things happen, all bad things happen. So it's the same thing here. God doesn't change midstream. He's talking in the same way, whose heart turneth away from this day from the Lord our God, to go and serve the gods of these nations, lest there should be among you a root that beareth gall and wormwood. And it come to pass, when he heareth the words of this curse, that he bless himself in his heart. You notice that all this talking and thinking, it all is in the heart. This person is, because of the imaginations of their heart, they have a heart to turn away from the Lord. Well, here we're talking about they might say this within their heart. That's because you're saying it to yourself. So he might bless himself in his heart, saying, I shall have peace, though I walk in the imagination of my heart, to add drunkenness to thirst. So this is some proud boaster kind of a person that says, yeah, I know the Lord said that, but I don't care. It's not going to affect me. I'll be above it. His covenant doesn't really going to change my ways, and I'm going to still drink and eat, and it won't do anything bad about for me. So he's going to say, I'm going to have peace, meaning God's not going to bring all these curses on me. You know, he'll have mercy on me, because we know God is merciful, and we sometimes take advantage of that. We know God's merciful, so we just do bad things and think, oh, he'll forgive me, he'll make it right, and he'll protect me. Well, not always, and that's what God's warning them about. Don't say, well, God's going to give me peace, but I'm going to go on doing my bad stuff. So I'm going to have peace, though I walk in the imagination of my heart. That phrase is used time and time again in the Bible. We're going to see this in Jeremiah. Jeremiah uses it about 8 times. We're not going to read all 8 of them, though. But Jeremiah used about 8 times, the imagination of the heart. So, and Jeremiah definitely didn't write Deuteronomy. Moses that wrote Deuteronomy definitely didn't write Jeremiah. So this is the inspiration of God that's causing these people to write the same phrases, the same ideas over and over again. So this is what this person thinks in their heart. They say, the imagination of my heart to add drunkenness to thirst. And the Lord will not spare him, but then the anger of the Lord and his jealousy shall smoke against that man, and all the curses that are written in this book shall lie upon him, and the Lord shall blot out his name from under heaven. So this person might be all haughty about trying to get away with something, but God says, not so. No, you're going to get it in the end. You're going to get it in the end. If you'll turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 29, 1 Chronicles. I'm in 2 Chronicles. That won't do. So 1 Chronicles chapter 29. And we'll start in verse 14. This is David giving thanks for God, to God. Verse 14 says, "But who am I and what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee." I've got that underlined in my Bible, the last part of verse 14. All things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. Meaning God has given you everything you have, and you're just giving back what belongs to God. You know, people get all bent out of shape about trying to tithe and spend time with God and do things for other people. And God has given us everything we have, right? Both time and money and health and whatever we have, God has given it to us. And David rightly says, we're just giving you back what you already own. So it's not like we're making a big sacrifice here. It already belongs to God anyway. So he goes on to say, verse 15, "For we are strangers before thee and sojourners, as were all our fathers. Our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding. O Lord our God, all this store we have prepared to build thee a house for thine holy name cometh of thine hand." Everything came from your hand. "And is all thine own. I know also, my God, that thou triest the heart." He tries the heart. Different cultures have that same kind of thing. I think it's the Egyptians that they actually have a weigh balance, a scale. And after you die and you go into the afterlife, they actually put your heart on one side and then they put something else on the other side and they see how light your heart is. The lighter your heart, that means the better you were. Of course, this is salvation by works. Because, yeah, the better you are, the lighter your heart, that means you can come on into the good things of the afterlife. If you've got a heavy heart, which means you've done a lot of bad things, well, the scales tip down, and that shows that, no, you cannot enter. But still, the idea of God judging the heart is true. I mean, that part is true. God does try the heart. That's what he says right here. "I know also, my God, that thou triest the heart and has pleasure in uprightness." It's interesting also that when we think of the Old Testament, we think of the Old Testament as real dry, bare bones, according to the law, all these rules you got to follow. But you notice that David mentions the trying of the heart first. We think that when Jesus comes on the scene in Matthew and all of a sudden he's talking in Matthew 5 about, well, it's a heart thing. You know, yeah, the law says you can't commit the act, but I'm saying to you that your heart can't be that way. And over again he talks about the heart, and we're going to look at Matthew 5 when we get there. But it's not a New Testament idea. It's a godly idea that God looks at the heart and he judges the heart. So even back here, you couldn't just say, well, I'm okay because I'm keeping the law. Well, what's in your heart? Amen. Do you have the attitude of hate? Do you have the attitude of murder? Do you have the attitude of lust? Mm-hmm. Do you have all these things in your heart? Mm-hmm. So he rightly says, God trieth the heart and has pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of my heart, I have willingly offered all these things. And now have I seen with joy thy people, which are present here to offer willingly unto thee. O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, our fathers, keep this forever in the imaginations of the thoughts of the heart. The imaginations of the thoughts of the heart. We would say no, thoughts come from the brain. And the Bible would say no, thoughts come from the heart. Out of the heart manifest your character. Out of the heart. So we get this all the way back in the Old Testament. David says, the imagination of the thoughts of the heart. Every time we read that word imagination, I know this is not exactly the way it works, but I sort of in my brain substitute the word plans. When you have an imagination, that means you're imagining something. You're putting it together. You're putting it so that there's a form to it, and there's a logical progression to it. And every time I think of the imaginations of the heart, I think that means the plans of the heart, things that you actually want to do and accomplish. So it's not just a feeling somewhere deep down inside. You've actually thought about it, and it's manifested now in your heart as a plan of action. You're wanting to do this. So the imaginations of the thoughts of the heart of thy people, and prepare their heart unto thee. He doesn't say make them righteous. He doesn't say make them obey your law. No, he says prepare their heart. You know, David, he went through a lot of problems, right? He had sin. And we might even actually say that nobody more than him understands that human beings are sinful. I mean, he probably thought he was a pretty good guy at one time, and then he fell into some horrible sins, and I think that sort of changed his mind about human nature. I think he sort of realized, you know, if I can sin, all the specialness God did for me, all the special position God did, the trust that I have in God, and how much I love God, if I can sin, not that he's setting himself up, but all the benefits he has had, if he sins, how about everybody else that's not so spiritual, that doesn't love God so much, that has not been blessed with all these spiritual blessings? But David was, and David knew how sinful he was. And all of a sudden he's saying, you know, yeah, we might act out, but our hearts, I don't think David's heart ever left God. David still loved God. David is still a friend of God, called after God's heart. All these things that God loves David. Yes, David sinned horrible sins, but David still loved God. And that's, I think, why he says, prepare their hearts. Yeah, you can clean up the outside, and that's what the Pharisees tried to do. Clean up the outside, but on the inside, it's still dead men's bones, rottenness, and corruption. No, David's concerned about the inside. And this is Old Testament. So don't let anybody tell you that the Old Testament is just a set of laws, and the New Testament is when we talk about the soul and the want to and the heart. No, no, no. It's in the Old Testament. And that's one reason why I'm reading some of these verses in the Old Testament, is because we need to brainwash ourselves with the Bible into thinking correctly, into knowing what the Bible says. So if you will go to Psalm number 2, the second Psalm. Now, I was going to read this in Acts, where Peter and John actually quote it, but I thought, no, let's read it in the Old Testament, you know? They quoted it in the book of Acts, Acts 4, if you want to look it up later, when they are out of jail and they go back to the church and report back, and they quote these two verses. Psalm 2, verse 1, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Imagine a vain thing. The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. You notice that again, verse 1, right away they're raging and they're imagining vain things. They're planning vain things. They're thinking about how can we do this? The king is here, but we got to overthrow the king. We got to take over God's kingdom, God's creation. We got to set ourselves up. It's all this planning and building and getting yourself in there. So it's another imagination thing, but it's a vain thing. Unless you imagine what the Bible says, unless you plan what the Bible says, then this fits you. It's a vain thing. The people imagine a vain thing, a thing that won't come to pass. Now, if you will, turn to Jeremiah chapter 3. And like I said, this appears about 8 times in Jeremiah. So we're not going to read them all, because they all basically say the same thing. We'll just read two of them. Two of them. So that you can get the point. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 17. Verse 17 says, at that time they shall call Jerusalem the throne of the Lord. So God is going to be down there speaking with his people, working with his people, helping his people. Jerusalem will be the throne of the Lord. And all the nations shall be gathered unto it, to the name of the Lord, to Jerusalem. Neither shall they walk any more after the imagination of their evil heart. So the nations used to walk after the imagination of their evil heart. But now they're coming to Jerusalem. They're coming to the Jews. They're saying, how about this Jehovah God? Yeah, he's the true God. And the nations are believing the true God and worshiping Jehovah. That's what's happening here. They come to Jerusalem. Neither more shall they walk anymore after the imagination of their evil heart. if you have an evil heart, the only thing that it can do is imagine evil. And like I said, we'll get to the New Testament, Matthew 15, where Jesus says, out of an evil heart comes evil sins. You know, it's just one for one. I mean, that's just naturally the way it falls. If you look in chapter 7 of Jeremiah, chapter 7, verse 24. But they hearkened not, neither inclined their ear, and like most of the prophets, they were sent with the message of telling the people, repent. Come back to the Lord. Clean up your ways. But it says, no, they didn't hearken to it. They didn't repent. They didn't incline their ear. But they walked in the counsels and the imagination of their evil heart and went backward and not forward. But how did they? Why did they do that? Because they walked after the counsel of the imagination of their evil heart. You know, a lot of people say, well, you know, I think this, or I think this, or I feel this, or my heart just tells me this. Well, I've got a scripture for you. If you look in Jeremiah chapter 17, and this is not one of the evil heart things that we just read, but there's eight of them all total. But in Jeremiah 17 verse 9, it says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? That's a dangerous thing to say, well, my heart tells me this. I just go according to my heart. Now, if you're a saved person, we've got a little bit of an edge, and we can say that a little bit because God has given us a new heart, a new conscience, a new love. We love Him, and we want to please Him. But if you're not saved, if you're not a child of God, to say that you follow your heart, you're following an evil heart. You're following the imaginations of an evil heart. Over and over again, the scripture says, because your heart is deceitful and above all things and desperately wicked. We can't know our hearts. Not even as much. God knows our hearts more than we know our hearts. And then verse 10 says, and I, the Lord, search the hearts. Isn't that what David said? Search our hearts. Try our hearts. Look at our hearts. And Jeremiah is saying the same thing, that it's the Lord that searches the hearts. And then he also, the Lord tries the reins, even to give every man according to his way, according to the fruit of his doing. This trying the reins is sort of a weird little word. In the King James Bible, it's actually written most of the time as kidneys. Now, at first, when you first think of that, you think, well, that's weird. 18 times it's translated as kidneys, and only 13 times it's translated as reins. So the King James translators, they made a decision that sometimes, 13 times, it should be reins. Now, of course, if you're a farm person, or if you've been around horses, you know what reins are. It pulls the horse back. It stops the horse. It can tug on it one way, and the horse knows to go one way. You sort of slap them on the sides, and that means giddy up, let's go. So the reins is a controlling thing. Out of the evil imaginations of our heart, certain things come out, and we plan. But the kidneys is where we have that controlling thing. And now you're saying, well, now you've really gone off the rails. you sort of lost me when you were talking about the heart being the center of man. And you sort of buy into that. But then when you start talking about the kidneys, now that's gone a little bit too far. Well, that's, again, an internal organ. We can't live without kidneys. Now we can in modern day because we have dialysis machines, and you go over and you sit there and they, you know, clean your blood and clean your person and all that kind of stuff. But the kidneys are rather important. I mean, we can't live without a heart either, right? I mean, yes, I know we have artificial hearts and all, you know, modern science has that kind of stuff, but that's only within the last 100 years. I mean, you know, for hundreds of years, thousands of years, yeah, if you didn't have a heart, you died. If you didn't have both kidneys, you died. That was just the way it was. So these are very protected, important organs. That's why God gave us a rib cage, to protect these organs a little more, you know, from attack. So the kidneys here is another internal organ, another symbol of the internal, the specific center of man, where they come from, the emotions. Even when you talk about the heart and the kidneys and emotions, I think it's the apostles when the two on the road to Emmaus, they came back and reported that they had eaten supper with Jesus, and they said, "Didn't our heart burn within us?" Now, I know that's not time for tongues. You know, they didn't have heartburn. But they said, "Didn't our heart burn within us?" It does affect you. Something that happens, your heart starts racing. You know, it does affect your physiology. Whatever that word is. So, here, again, we have the reins, the kidneys. That's sort of an interesting word. So if you turn back to Leviticus 19, and I know we're sort of going backwards in time here, but then we're going to jump to the New Testament. Leviticus 19, and verse 17. Again, I want you to just see how these things are in the Old Testament. That God has always thought the same way about the heart, about your motives, about your emotions. It's not just about keeping the law on the outside. So here in Leviticus 19, verse 17, it says, "Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart." It doesn't mean that as long as I don't kill my brother, as long as I don't make my brother stumble by leaving out the rake and he steps on and hits him in the head or whatever, as long as I don't do these physical things, that I'm okay. No, God says, no, that's not okay. It's a heart thing. And he even says it back here in Leviticus. "Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart." So it is a heart thing. Now if you go to Matthew, and three times, we won't go to Matthew 5, you know where they are. But Jesus three times uses the heart in Matthew 5 and 6. Matthew chapter 5 and 6, but we won't go there because those are very, very familiar. But in Matthew 15, and finally we're going to get to the verses I've been talking about some. Matthew 15, verse 16 says, "Are ye also yet without understanding?" Now, he said a parable, and they came to him in verse 15 and says, "Explain this parable to us." And he says, "Are you also yet without understanding? Do you not yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast into the draw? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the brain?" No, from the heart. From the heart. "And they defile the man." That's what defiles you, is your heart, because of the condition of your heart. "For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts." And you notice how he says that one first? It's amazing. If you study the list in the Bible. Evil thoughts. And the next one is murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, and blasphemies. Now, why would evil thoughts be on the list? Why would evil thoughts be first? We would probably put murder on the... I mean, that's the top of the list of bad things to do, is to murder. And he then puts murder and then adulteries, fornications, thefts, and other things. But he puts evil thoughts right at the beginning. Out of the heart proceed evil thoughts. Jesus knows his Old Testament. He's read all those verses. He wrote those verses. He's God in the flesh. Amen. He knows where they are and what they are and what they mean. He says, "These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashing hands defileth not a man." If you would look back in Proverbs chapter 4. Now remember those verses that we just read. Proverbs chapter 4, and we haven't read this verse yet, so I thought it'd be a good place to put this in. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Now, where did Jesus get the idea that out of the heart proceed evil doings? Well, it says right here, "For out of it," meaning the heart, "keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Jesus just knew his Old Testament. One tiny little verse here in Proverbs, and yeah, we read it and we just keep on going on to it, but Jesus quoted it. It goes on to say, put away from thee a forward mouth and perverse lips. Put far from thee. Let thine eye look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Ponder thy ways. We usually would read that verse and talk about mental things. Think about them. Dissect them. Logically tear it apart to see if it's going to be good or not. But in the context, it starts up in verse 23 with the heart. So it's not so much our mind, it's our heart. If you look in one more place here in Proverbs, chapter 23. verse 7. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Now, in the context, we're talking about evil people. And we're talking about people, verse 6, that have an evil eye. So he says, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. The reason why, and you notice it does use the word thinking. Thinking in your heart. What's up with this thinking in your heart stuff? See, I'm not making this stuff up. It's in the Bible. And it's over and over and over. And we're not going to read them all. But so, as a man thinketh in his heart, as he thinketh in his heart. What verse are we on? 7. As he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. You notice that his actions do not coincide with what his heart is thinking. He says, eat and drink, but his heart is not with you. He means, what he says is, come have fellowship with us. Eat and drink with us. Have fellowship with us. We're the same. But he says, really, his heart is far from you. His heart is thinking evil thoughts against you. His heart is trying to devise evil imaginations, how to take what you have and to get you out of what you have. So, this evil heart, as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Do we have time? One more verse. If you go to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. And we'll look in verse 45 and 46, because this goes along with what we read in Matthew 15. But it's the good side. Matthew is all about the bad things. Out of the evil part of the heart, evil comes out. Evil thinking, murders, adulteries. But this is the good side. Verse 45 says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. How many times does the word good appear in that first sentence? The good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. 3 times you hear the word good. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. How many times do you hear the word evil? 3. Over and over again, Jesus is driving home a point here. That it's the heart that makes the difference. For of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaketh. Usually you can tell who people are by how they speak. They might try to keep it closed. They might try to protect themselves. They might watch their words. They might be able to fool you for a while. But eventually you get comfortable with them. They get comfortable. They let things slip. All of a sudden it comes out. They're used to cussing at home. They curb it when they're around certain people. But they get hot and heavy. And guess what? There it comes. It's out and everybody hears it and they've shown their true colors. Most people can only use self-discipline so long to change their behavior. So, out of the mouth, out of the abundance of the heart. And you notice we were talking about the heart, and out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaketh. Verse 46, my Bible has that backwards P sign, which means a paragraph, which means a new story. I sort of think that's a little bit misplaced, though, because verse 46 ties right in with verse 45. We just got finished talking about, out of the abundance of the heart, man speaks. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? Mm-hmm. They're speaking. They're calling him Lord, Lord. But guess what? Their inner being, it doesn't match. You're calling me Lord, Lord, as if you believe everything I say. You're going to follow me, but you're not doing what I say. And you don't believe what I say. So it's all out of the heart. And we've got some more scriptures, and I think probably next week will be the last sermon on the heart, even though there are like all over all kinds of verses that we can, but we'll get it down to just one more sermon, very important verses that we need to bring out. Be careful with your heart. Be careful with what goes into it. Be careful with what comes out of it.
Amen. Thank you, brother. I think the first mention of that is in Genesis chapter 6, and it said, God said, they looked upon man, and the imaginations of his heart was only evil continually. Yeah, there's a lot there. A lot there. Thank you, brother. Good message. What number, brother?
Hymn number 274, Jesus Never Fails.
274, we'll stand and sing a couple verses.
Sing the second and third verse. Father, I just pray that your message is well received this evening. We just thank you for the blessing and the gift that it is to be able to come to your house today and to lift you up and fellowship that we're able to have and just the conversations that we have and just to be able to lift our voices up to you with praise and the gift that you give us with, Lord, and just the safety and the travels that we've come here and just the blessings that it is to be able to know that you are ever present in our daily lives, in our daily walks, wherever we might be, Lord. Just thank you for just watching over us, and just thank you for our health and just the purpose that you give us each and every day. Though that some seasons may be just strong and it might just be just full of challenges, Lord, we know that you are stronger and that you are more powerful and that you can help us through any walk of life, Lord. We just thank you for just revealing yourself to us and just making it known. Lord, I just pray that you would just, anyone that might be hearing these messages, that it might just convict their spirit, hearts, that they might truly come to you, repent of their sins, and just know that you are the one true God that is there to be ever present in their life, as you do speak to our hearts, and you do know what is in our hearts and what's in our minds and our souls, Lord. Pray that the message that Brother John is preaching on heart, Lord, that just speak volumes to those that just those who do not know you, Lord. And we just thank you for the gift of his studies and just the gift of his efforts and his wisdom that you've blessed him with and just that you've blessed us as a congregation with, Lord, just to be able to continue just to grow in our knowledge and your word and your wisdom, Lord. And I just pray for those that are on the prayer list and just the many names that have been mentioned, the upcoming surgeries that we're getting ready to have, with Sister Andra and just with Brother John and Sister Tony or Brother Tony, and just the many names that are on our hearts and on our minds, Lord. And those that have COVID, we just pray that you just be with Sister Mary and Lisa's friend, Lord. I just pray that you just be with those people, and just pray that your will be done. And pray that you just be with our business meeting tonight as we conclude our services now and we just begin our business meeting. Just forgive us our sins. It's in your Son, Jesus Christ's name, that we pray. Amen.